So why Mark's gospel? Well, it's short and it's very dynamic. Apparently some people call Mark's gospel the gospel of St. Peter. I didn't know, I hadn't read that before, but I did read that. And because Mark wasn't one of the apostolic band, you know, and although he is mentioned elsewhere in the Bible, it's usually in the role of being a number two. You know, you could say he was a great PA to three great leaders in the early church, and I'm sure you know who they are. And that was Barnabas, first of all, his older cousin, then Paul for a season he served, and then the apostle Peter. And I know you can dispute some of this stuff, but it seems to fit to me. Mark used to travel around with Peter and translate Peter's messages into Latin as he went around the churches in and around Rome. And although Peter was never especially enthusiastic about having his messages written down, there is early evidence that some people in the congregations went to Mark and said, look, would you mind making a more permanent record of this? And so Mark started transcribing Peter's messages. And certainly the style of Mark is very much like this action man, Peter, isn't it? let's cut to the chase, you know. Let's do something. And it's very much an action, series of video images, if you like, that's really exciting to read. And Mark doesn't mess about. I'm going to turn to Mark chapter 1 and read verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's like the films we see sometimes, isn't it? The sort that show you the end, you know, before it's even started, and then they show you the rest of the film in flashback, and sometimes they can be quite confusing, can't they? But it's like Mark was saying, let's get this straight, fellas. This, who we're talking about, is God the Son. You know, talking about flashbacks, I love the show Lost. Anybody else watch Lost? Yeah, Miriam watches Lost. Fantastic show. It started with a plane crash and a seemingly uninhabited island. But it's a really weird place. But almost every week, it shows in flashback what brought these individual characters into this particular place in time and space, as Gerald Coates would say. And so that's how Mark starts anyway. Let's not mess around, folk. So this is about the Son of God. And John actually uses a similar approach when he speaks in 1 John, or when he writes in 1 John chapter 1. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life, this is the Messiah. You just love people like that. There is absolutely no question of doubt about it. You know, prosecution, witness, or you know, the defense or whatever in a court, you know, if somebody stands up and says, look, there is no question, I saw this, this is the person, you know, there's no arguing with it, is it? And this is like Mark starts off here. Now I'm going to read just a few verses. So I'm not going to read every, because that's the other thing about Mark. They are quite long chapters, aren't they? But verses 9 to 11, Mark chapter 1. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus knew his need of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus chose to give up his divinity. He was born, he lived, and he died on the cross as a human, just like we are. And yet he was able to live a sinless life, to teach with authority, to heal the sick and to raise the dead and cast out demons. But he did none of that until he was baptized and received the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus did what he saw his Father doing in the power and authority of the Holy Spirit that the Father had given him. through the working of the Holy Spirit. And the good news is that every one of us that believes in this heart that Jesus is who he said he is, and believes that God raised him from the dead, and confesses with his mouth that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my Lord. Amen. If you can say that, then God gives us the ability, the right to be called children of God. And he gives us full access into all the promises that's in the Bible. And he pours his Holy Spirit upon those who ask, which is not a one-off thing. Okay. That's available to us. No longer do we need to live fruitless lives, futile lives, lives wondering about, where we came from or what we're here for or where we're going. Jesus gives us hope, gives us a future, and he gives us gifts whereby we are able to live just as Jesus lived and do the things that he does. And just going to read on now. Verse 12, immediately the Spirit, do you notice that? Immediately, that's the second immediately in this chapter. This is one of the words that Mark uses more than anybody else, I think, in the New Testament. I can't remember how many times he uses it, but I think he uses it 6 times in this chapter alone. Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Unfortunately, it has to be said that accepting Jesus, receiving baptism in the Holy Spirit, doesn't always lead to a quiet life, doesn't it? And it may also mean that we have a few wilderness experiences, and I see John nodding over there. I'm sure everybody, if they're truthful, have experienced a few of these wilderness experiences. And I'm always torn, to be honest, whenever I have the privilege of being able to pray with somebody to help them to receive Jesus as their Saviour, or to invite the Holy Spirit to come and bless them. I'm always torn by actually pointing out, that actually they're sort of setting themselves up for attack. And, Satan and his demons do want to stop us from doing the things that Jesus did. And I want people to be prepared for this. But the wonderful thing about this scripture, the angels minister to him. Now, I'm just thinking about this, did they minister to Jesus because of who he was? And I thought, well, yes and no. See, I don't believe they came to him because he was God the Son, but I think because he was a child of God, they came. And that's the same status as every one of us that confesses Jesus as Lord has. The angels came and ministered to him. See, Hebrews 1:14 says that they, and this is talking about angels, the angels are not angels, all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation. And my Bible commentary puts it this way. These are heavenly assistants, these are angels, heavenly assistants who are continually active today in building the body of Christ, advancing the ministry of Jesus and the building of his church. The angels are here today. Is that exciting? I haven't seen an angel. Well, I don't know. There's a few faces here that I don't know, but perhaps they're angels. Are you angels? Glory! Glory! I know from, my spirit sometimes I've been in situations where I've just known that there are angels. And Annette does see angels and talks to them and sometimes, and there's a strong biblical precedent for all of that, just look at the lives of Hagar and Ishmael, Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Balaam, Gideon, Samson, Elijah, David, Daniel, men of faith. They were just men that dared to believe the promises of God, dared to believe that God was speaking to them, and dared to go out and do what they thought he was telling them to do. And that was just in Old Testament times. We heard last week that there was a real outbreak of angelic activity around the birth of Jesus, wasn't there? And again at his death, actually, if you look. And then you can see so many appearances of angels in the New Testament, not just acting as messengers of God, but actually getting involved in the doings of the church. Amen. Opening prison doors and leading the apostles out. Instructing Philip to go to the desert where he met the Ethiopian eunuch. That's an interesting thing. An angel told me to do it, so I did it. And look at the results of that. Some people are quite concerned. Oh, I'm not sure that I'll do what an angel tells me to do. Oh, unless I hear it from God. But these are messengers of God, aren't they? But more than messengers, they're actually getting involved today. Striking down Herod, who refused to give glory to God, and much more. So much evidence of angelic activity in the New Testament. So I want to say now that I want to see angels. I want to invoke their help in building the church and building everything about my life. Amen. So angels, wherever you are, you are welcome. I think some people got a bit upset or a bit concerned when Nigel and Jean spoke here, and Jean was speaking, and she said, oh, there's an angel over my shoulder. Oh! Do you remember that? People said, well, you know, I don't mind the Holy Spirit, but I'm not sure I want any of that. I want to see the angels. Elisha prayed that God would open the eyes of his servant to see. It talks about it in 2 Kings chapter 6. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And the Lord struck all the Syrian army with blindness at Elisha's prayer. Glory. I want to see that. Let's ask God for more of his visible presence in 2009. More angelic activity. Amen. And let's ask them to help us in our struggles. Okay, I'm going to read on now in verse 16 and 17. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. You know, remember in those days, these were the school dropouts, the also-rans. See, they'd studied a few years with the teachings, but they weren't considered worthy of going on into the next phase of the rabbi's teachings. So they were released to go back and learn their father's professions, and so they went back to fishing. I mean, it was almost like they were branded as failures at a very young age. But of course, that's not how Jesus saw them. And that's not how Jesus sees us. I don't know any of, well, I know a few of your backgrounds, but not very many of you. What does the scripture say? Not many of us are wise. But Jesus loves us. And Jesus calls us. And Jesus, the greatest rabbi of them all, came to them and said, come and learn from me. He said, you fish for food today, but I will give you food that will last for eternity. You, I can just imagine God saying it to each one of us here, you will help me to change the lives of men and women forever, and your stories will resound through history. And in verse 35, just want to touch upon something that Paul's been bringing out this morning. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. Now they didn't know Jesus all that well, and they hadn't been with Jesus all that long at this point. And he went out to pray, and what did they do? They went out to be with him. They went out to find him. They couldn't be without him, could they? They just wanted more of Jesus. And it just raises that question again. How desperate are we? How desperate am I for the presence of Jesus? I'll just leave a moment for the question to settle. How desperate are we? See, Jesus told his disciples, seek and you shall find. If we're hungry enough, we'll find him. Even today. See, just like those simple fishermen, we're called to be history makers. Can you dare to believe that and run hard after Jesus? So then Mark goes on to show how Jesus cast out an unclean spirit. He healed Peter's mother-in-law, I like this one, so she could get up and fix some dinner. Went out alone to pray, travelled from town to town, preaching, and then he cleansed a leper. And it's that story that I want to finish on. And it's verse 40 and 42. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. You see, the leper was certain that Jesus was able to heal him. He just wasn't quite sure that that was God's will for him. And Jesus settled that question. I am willing. I am willing. Be cleansed. And that's God's will for each one of us. That we be healed, that we be cleansed, that we be set free of everything that besets us, that we're able to run the race that is set before us. You know, Jesus paid that ultimate price for our healing on the cross. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil, 1 John 3:8. Now clearly, you know, if we're living intentionally in ways which are not honouring to God, then you know, it's perhaps not surprising that we get sick. But let's not forget either that God is a God of grace. And we all know there's been times that we've prayed for people and prayed for ourselves and or been prayed for ourselves and we've not necessarily got better. For some reason our healing has been delayed or we don't understand why that should be. I wish I could tell you. But I can't. There's probably hundreds of different reasons that we could explore. But I'm not going to let that deter me. I'm going to go on praying. And I'm going to go on believing that God's will for us is that we're going to be healed. So just as Jesus said to that leper, I am willing. Be healed. So I want to say to you, God is willing today. Be healed. And I thought, well, you know, I can't finish on a line like that without actually offering to pray for the sick. And as I thought that, I just felt that maybe God would have me pray for somebody with a bad knee. And I was praying again about that this morning. And I felt, Lord God, you know, give me a bit more than that. And I just felt that God say that there's perhaps an old sports injury that's not painful all the time, but that occasionally gives you a jip. God wants to say, be healed. And I'd love to pray for you. And I also felt this morning as I was praying about a thyroid problem. And I don't know anything about thyroids, but I know a man who does. And he says, be healed. So if you would like me to pray for you, if any of those words resound, I also felt something actually as I was preparing about liver. And so I just submit those words to you. I'm going to finish, but I would love to pray for you. If you want me to pray for you, then I would love to pray for you and see what God will do. Amen.